I would like you to find in your Bible, if you would please, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. Hear the word of God through the pen of the Apostle Paul. He writes this, 1 Corinthians 12:4. There are diversities of gifts, that is, different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. Amen. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works them all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another one the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is a unit, okay, the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, comprise one single body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether we're Jewish or Greek, or slave or free man, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Father, thank you for your word, and we ask you, Lord, to open up our understanding to it, and Lord, may we live before you, pleasing, unified, holy in your sight. Amen. And well, we can't be reminded enough that the call of Jesus Christ is not merely to some kind of one-on-one exclusive relationship. Christian faith and isolation are not compatible concepts. Okay? Yes, a person does have, and you must have, a personal relationship with God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. But when a person comes to Christ, he is, as we see in our passage, he is, by the Spirit of God, fitted into an interlocking, interdependent organism, okay, a spiritual network of people. A person has a place among others, okay, in much the same way that the parts of your body have a proper place among the complete system or the unit that is your body. I've said before that it strikes me as a very American tendency. Maybe it's not exclusively American, but maybe just a human tendency to love self-sufficiency and independence, right? I mean, that's what our nation is all about, independence. So you find very often that people become effectively consumers of Christianity or consumers of church or consumers of faith in the same way that we're consumers of other products. Okay, there's many choices out there, aren't there? And there's very many resources, spiritual resources available out there. And if I chose, I pretty much could stay at home and you know, be a Christian by myself at home. I can buy Christian books from Amazon or from someplace else at the store, okay? I can select my favorite preachers off the radio and off of the television. I can study theological topics on the internet by myself. And it's very neat and clean that way, isn't it? Okay, there's not the complications and the sort of messiness of dealing with people. Okay, problem with people is that they're They're quirky, they're needy, they're not like me. I'd really rather just work at my own pace. You know, I'd rather just make progress at my own pace and not be bothered or, you know, hindered by other people's quirks and baggage, okay? However, it might be easier, but to be alone that way, okay, and to drift around through life without anchoring yourself to a community, okay, without making some kind of a spiritual living contribution to a community of believers, is, to put it bluntly, against the will of God. Okay, it is against the nature of God. If you understand God's nature as God is love, God is all about fellowship. He is about giving himself. He is about rejoicing together and sharing good blessings and granting good things. Okay, to keep all to oneself goes against the very nature of God, and therefore it's contrary to the likeness of God, which is his objective to restore in us, right? Okay, we're the likeness of God in man was damaged by the fall. And this is what the new life is. It's precisely meant to be a renewal in the likeness of God. Okay, and so I say again, simply because of the nature of God, Christian faith and isolation are incompatible concepts. Okay, the nature of Christian faith and of the new life is love. So I will address you, of course, you know, as I speak to you over the course of time, I will address you as an individual, okay? And you personally, each one of you, has a choice to make, okay? You have choices to make regarding how you're going to obey, okay? Each one of you personally is going to have to stand before God and explain yourself. However, the life that God calls you into by way of the gospel is a life that is not centered on you. It is a life that is outwardly directed, okay, outwardly focused. And so the apostle says to you and to me, let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Okay, he says, don't be centered on self, but in lowly-mindedness, understand that lowly-mindedness, value others above yourselves. This is the mind of Christ. And he says, let that mind be in you. Okay, this is what God saved you for, to become like himself in this respect. And so the scripture says, love does not seek its own. Okay, love does not seek its own. The gift of the Holy Spirit, here's what we read in 1 Corinthians 12, that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each for the benefit of all, okay? The Holy Spirit himself, this precious gift of God, which is given at the time of salvation, is given to that one for the benefit of not just himself, for the benefit of a family of believers, okay? And it says we're all made to drink of the same Spirit, the one Spirit. And in addition, whatever blessings and spiritual capacities that the Holy Spirit grants to the individual, it says here, they're not just for himself, okay? They are for the profit of others, okay? The profit of all, not just to be kept to oneself. So this is why it brings joy in heaven and brings glory to God whenever a saint comes forward to declare that he or she is ready to affirm a commitment to both Christ himself as Lord, but also to a local flock of his sheep. Okay, here are some one another's for us to walk through life with, okay? And it's the Christian motto very well could be all for one and one for all, and all for Jesus, okay? What better way for us to please God during this time of the year than for us to affirm our love for one another? And especially today, we have a particular thing today for these two people who are coming forward to today. As for Danny, Danny is ready to publicly profess his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and identify with the Lord in baptism. Okay, what do I mean by that? The Lord Jesus says that whoever confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father in heaven. Okay, and you know the verse from Romans that says, if you confess with your mouth that Christ is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. With the heart, a man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Okay, and the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. There's no difference between the Jew or the Greek, the American, between a boy and a girl, between a black and a white. The same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon his name. He will be rich toward you if you call upon his name, because the scripture says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So what's today all about for Danny? Baptism is the method by which a man or a woman ceremonially and publicly makes that good confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, calls upon the name of the Lord, and asks for that good gift, that good and perfect gift which the Father bestows from heaven, which he promised in his scriptures, the Holy Spirit. Okay, you know that the God is good, and he will surely give, the scripture says, he will surely give the Holy Spirit to whoever asks him. Okay, you're evil, and even you know how to give good gifts, Jesus says. Your Father is only good. Will he not certainly give the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks him? And so baptism is that ordinance or rite which Jesus gave us to identify ourselves with him, to declare him to be our very own Savior in the presence of God and the congregation. Okay, the scripture says, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay, and our text today here in 1 Corinthians says, by that Spirit you are baptized and you are inducted into the one body. And the rest of you are here to be witnesses of this event. Hey, we are witnesses. You are the men before which Danny will confess Christ. Okay? When I say identify with the Lord, it means I sign up to be on his side. He is the King of Kings. He is the righteous one. He gave his life for me. God highly exalted him, and God has called all creation to put their trust in him and get on the ark, so to speak. Right? The ones who are on the ark will survive the flood. The ones who are not on the ark will perish. So I take his name upon me. I sign up to be on his side. I also die to my sin, right? This is what baptism is. I die to my old self, and I bury the old me, and I am raised up to a new life. And the scripture says to you, there is no condemnation anymore to those who are in Christ Jesus, who keep in step with the Spirit instead of walking according to their natural tendencies of their sinful state. Okay, you know the hymn says, my sin is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I identify myself with Christ just as he died, and he was raised and now lives forever, and death has no strength over him. So now I die to sin's power and guilt, and I can live for God free from my shackles. Also in baptism, I identify with Christ in that I am joined to him in the likeness of his death, in the sure hope that also I will share in the likeness of his resurrection. Okay? Baptism is a burial in water, but someday they really will bury me in the ground. But I am going to come forth again from there, just as surely as Christ himself did before me. The scripture says, in Adam all die, and so will you. But in Christ, all will be made alive. And that depends on whether you are in Christ. This is why he came into the world all that time ago, friends, to solve death. He is the firstborn from among the dead, and I know that he is able to raise me and every other believer up on the last day as well. That is what he has promised, and I believe it, and you ought to believe it. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Danny, what does that mean? Others, what does it mean? Confess the Lord. It means I recognize that he is my Savior. His death on the cross is accepted by God in my place. And that will be the case for you too, for you, Danny, and for anyone else who comes to him on those plain terms. Do you other young ones hear me? It will be so for you too if you come to Christ on those same terms. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay, now out there, you who have been baptized, and you have made that same good confession, to you I say, endure in the most holy name, in the most precious faith which you have been baptized into. Don't be moved away from the hope that you have no matter what happens in this life. Christ is able to save you on that great and terrible day, and his promise is trustworthy. Okay, the scripture says, if we died with him, we also surely will live with him. If we endure, we also will reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Okay, he is able to keep you from falling. He is able to present you before the throne of God with exceeding joy. Endure. Proudly wear the name of Christian and live to bring honor and praise to his name. As for you who have been baptized, but you cling to some evil thoughts and deeds, to you I say, don't put the Lord your God to the test. Know that the Father is a Father who disciplines. He says, those whom I love, I rebuke and chastise. Take warning that God means to have a holy people, zealous for what is good. That's why Christ came into the world, to purify for himself such a people. And that purification is going to get done. It can be done the easy way or it can be done the hard way. Don't trust in the fact that once upon a time you were baptized to shield you from the wrath of God if you continue to disobey. Repent and honor the name of the Lord. Honor Christ with a holy life, a life of love, good works, and a clear conscience. And as for you who are still in your sins, never been baptized, never trusted in Christ at all, it is very important for you to know that a good and righteous God stands ready to judge the living and the dead. And if he is good, he cannot allow evil and sin and corruption and pollution to go on forever and ever. Okay? He is good, but don't confuse good with safe. He is not safe. Our God is a consuming fire. However, I preach you glad tidings. The door is open. A door of escape is open. A refuge is open. God is going to purge his creation of everything that pollutes and everything that causes sin, but there is a way for you to avoid being caught up in the final conflagration. Repent your sins. Turn to Christ. Follow little Danny's example. Okay, he is at the beginning of his walk with Jesus Christ, but he is doing this. And he will grow in knowledge and in the grace of Jesus Christ. The thing is, Danny is safe on the ark. And that's more than can be said of you if you continue on in the pollution of your sin. Okay. However, the door is still open. Get on board while you still can. As for our sister Donna, she already has made that profession of faith by baptism earlier in her life. And that is something that you only do once, but she is going to stand before you today to tell you that Jesus is Lord of all. He is Lord of me.
Thank you.
Okay, she's coming forward to join the membership of our congregation so as to receive a blessing, which of course we all need, but also to be a blessing, to give a blessing. And that's what we read in our scripture. This is what a church family is, or is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be a bunch of individuals, independent ones, who see each other's faces once in a while, but mostly keep to themselves. It's just not God's design. And if that's how you're using this church, then you're using it wrong. Okay? You don't want to be that. Okay? It's you're effectively just a consumer if that's all you're doing. Okay? You're taking a benefit without giving a benefit. Christ's design for you and for me, as we see here in our text, just as with a human body, every part of the body has some special contribution to make according to the unique person that you are, okay, according to the experiences that God has shaped you by. Okay, you're not somebody else, and you don't have to be somebody else. You're you. There is a place for you here, as long as you, just as Donna does, as long as you confess Christ as your Lord, and as long as you submit to the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, as again, as Donna does. Okay, he's changed her life, hasn't he? Okay, that is God's will for you, the scripture says, your sanctification. And in the family of God, in a local family like this, if the family is healthy, everyone profits and everyone blesses. Okay, everyone makes a contribution, everyone gets the benefit. Okay, and keep in mind that this is what a family is. Okay, it's what your regular family is. It is a place of both love and discipline. It is a place of both joy and authority. It can be a place of fun and silliness, and it's also a place of very great seriousness at times. Okay, serious business. Everybody in the family is different. You know, if you have multiple kids, they're not cookie cutters of each other. Everyone is different. So is everyone in the family of God different, okay? The family of God is where people have their burdens borne, where people share one another's joys, they pray for each other, they lift one another up, they help the weak, they train the young, they warn the disobedient, they encourage the faint-hearted, okay? I want to be part of this family. I hope that is what you will say too, okay? The human heart has a longing, I believe, to be a part of something, a part of a family. Doesn't your heart long in that way? Okay, Donna has found this place to be a loving family, a family with some spiritual vitality, and surely we can thank God for that. Surely we can. I know not everything here at First Baptist is perfect, but there's progress. Okay, and progress is what shows that we're alive. Okay, God is in our midst. We love him. We love his son. His word has an honored place in our midst. We like to sing him praises. There are a good number of tender-hearted people here who will love you. And like Paul says, we mean to keep on pressing on upward. Okay, if you believe that the Spirit of God is truly at work here, then follow her example and say with your mouth, this is where I want to be, okay? I want to make my special, personal, unique contribution to this spiritual family. I want to serve alongside these people. I want to serve these people, okay? I want to help build them up and comfort and encourage and strengthen them in my own unique way that the Spirit has made me through my personal experiences and the lessons I've learned and the mistakes I made and the triumphs I've won. Okay, there's room at the cross, certainly, for you. There is also room at First Baptist, okay, for not just you, but really, theoretically, for as many people as we can cram into this room. There is room, okay? God has something for you to do, a contribution for you to make, as long as you are willing to be, as the song says, one in the Spirit with us and one in the Lord, okay? Unity pleases God. Mutual love pleases God. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. How about you?
I am too.
Okay. He gave us the right to become children of God. He gave us the right. As many as believed in his name, brothers and sisters, love each other. Be tender-hearted toward each other. Be compassionate. Pray for each other. Pray for unity among our number. Let it constantly be our prayer, our insistent prayer, that God would tie our hearts closely together in the bonds of love. There is nothing more precious than that. May our family grow. May it grow in number, may it grow in wisdom and in favor with God and with men. Let's pray. And then what we'll do is we'll go upstairs, and please will you take your seat in the first few rows. And as you go up, will you take some time to express your love for each other while we get ready for our baptism? But let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise your name and we thank you, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the name of Jesus Christ that we may wear proudly, knowing, Lord, that although he was once meek and lowly, he forever will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Mm-hmm. He is coming, Lord, to save us. Yes. And Father, we ask, Lord, that you would have mercy on us poor sinners. Make us new, make us holy, make us kind and compassionate and loving the way that you are. Lord, what a joy it is to be with our Christian friends and to share one another's joys and concerns and to have companions to go through life with, dear Father. And we thank you for young Danny. We thank you for Donna. We thank you, Lord, for the testimonies of good Christian people that are in our lives. And we ask, Father, your blessing, continued protection and wisdom and power for First Baptist Church as we go on forward to serve you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.